Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Becky McNeely and I are here today, and we're going to talk to you about the heart of hospitality. We're actually starting a series today that will run through November, since everybody's going to be doing lots of hospitality this month, actually, with holidays coming up. And maybe you don't host Thanksgiving, and that's totally fine, but you're still showing hospitality to the people in your home. And so anyways, we just thought we'd talk about the heart behind hospitality before we go into the other parts of the series. What are the other ones that we're doing?
I think the next one is practical hospitality. So just like lots of tips and tricks, things like that. And then the one after that, I think, is being a guest of hospitality, because I think there really is a lot to be mindful of when you are being a guest of someone hosting.
Yes.
Or you can receive hospitality in positive and negative ways.
Yeah.
So we're going to hash all of that out. And then after that, we're going to do a rapid fire Q&A session where after we've released those three episodes, keep an eye out on the Fruitful and Thrillers Instagram. And we'll put a question box on there, and you can just, after you've listened to all of them, say, okay, you did not answer these things. Lord, I want to know more about this. And just type in all of your questions, and we will just have an episode where we sit around round table and just rapid fire.
That's going to be so fun. That's going to be really fun. And as you're listening to these, if you do have a question like about this episode, just pause and go to the Fruitful and Fearless Instagram and shoot me a message, because that's the best way to reach me. Anyone who sends me an email knows that that is a hole that I will probably not see anything in. So if you ever want to actually communicate with me, send me a message on Instagram or text me if you have my number. Heart of hospitality. You have notes, so you can start.
I do have notes.
I have no notes, but I have thoughts.
Well, so I was up crazy late last night. It's crunch time for the planner, and I'm behind what I would like to be schedule-wise this year. And so I had finished as much editing as my brain could hold for one evening, and I hit about 1 o'clock, and I thought, okay, I need to get everything situated for tomorrow. And then it hit me, oh my goodness, we're podcasting. And I've been thinking about hospitality all week, but I haven't put anything on paper. So my notes are really scattershot today.
Can you please tell them then what happened at 1 o'clock?
Oh yeah. So at 1 o'clock, I realized, oh yeah, I need to stop, work on the planner, and write down some notes for the podcast and get my, because I'm teaching story time and phonics for the preschoolers right now. Or the little kids, they're not all preschoolers, but anyway, for academy. And so I got all of those situated and ready. And then I was ready for bed. I was walking to my bed. I was so excited to lay down and crash. And Elsie starts crying because she had a nightmare, and she was either had a nightmare or was scared. She's two, so I couldn't.
Hard to discern,
but she was scared. You know that cry when there's a toddler who's scared, you just know that they're afraid. So she was afraid. At 1:30 in the morning, I just kind of looked at her, and she goes, Mama, hold. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to lay down here.
So Becky slept from 3 till time to get up for academy this morning in Elsie's bed.
Actually, it was until 6, because that's when people started making sounds in the house. Like, people weren't awake, but the girls sleep on a bunk bed, and the bottom, they're just like twin-size mattresses, and Elsie's on the floor, but June started stirring above, and Elsie's eyelids just popped open. She's like, it's morning.
Someone's awake.
I'm like, it's still nighttime. Baby, go to sleep. And she's like, I slept.
It's Mama. It's like we said last week, where you crinkle the Bible pages and the kids come running. It's like you lay down to go to sleep at night, and the kids wake up somehow. Someone wakes up. They're like, I knew you were about to rest.
Yeah. She could tell that my toes were about off of the rug in front of my bed.
Yeah, she was like, that sound is feet almost in bed. So now's the cue.
This is the perfect time. She finished her projects.
And she will be saved through childbearing.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so I was just thinking about it, and I think this time of year, we think of hospitality more often. We think about, you know, parties and gatherings and feasting and all of those things and beautiful table settings, delicious food. And while all of that's part of hospitality, it's actually a very narrow view of it. Because in reality, hospitality is something that we're called to year-round, day in, day out, not just when our decorations look great. You know, it's much more than an ornate tablescape. but it's the attitude of our hearts in our day-to-day lives. And it's really easy for us to put on this show once or twice a year in our homes, right? Where we have everything that looks beautiful. And there, I'm not knocking aesthetics. Anyone who knows me will know that I'm not knocking the aesthetics of a beautiful home or a beautiful table. But hospitality extends far more into that. And the heart behind hospitality is our attitude in those day-to-day dealings with being kind to people and being hospitable to people. So it's really easy to put that show on. But when a friend needs help with childcare or has had a really hard day or needs something, the question I was kind of mulling over is, do we open our door or our time to them without grumbling, or do we see it as an inconvenience? Mm-hmm. Is it something where we just go, I don't know. I'll wait until Thanksgiving and I'll put on a really pretty table? Or is it, no, even if it's not quite what I had planned for today, this is a need that I can meet and I can serve them with cheerfulness and in a way that's loving and meets their needs. There's a book I read. I don't know if you have you read Gospel Comes with a House Key?
No.
I read that. It's been years, but I read that years ago. And there were two quotes in there that have still stuck with me. It's by Rosaria Butterfield. And her story is, her testimony is incredible. But two of the quotes that I wanted to share were, radically ordinary hospitality is this: using your Christian home in a daily way that seeks to make strangers neighbors and neighbors family of God. And the other one is, hospitality shares what there is. That's all. It's not entertainment and it's not supposed to be. And so just thinking about what hospitality is and what it isn't, it can mean a beautiful table, but it can also mean saying, yes, bring your children over and I'll happily watch them. Or, yeah, you've had a hard day, come over, I'll make you a cup of coffee, or I'll make you some tea and let's chat and let the kids run wild, you know. But I think so often we think of hospitality as it has to be this grand thing, or our homes have to be in pristine condition, or we have to have a deep clean done or anything before we can open our doors. And that's not what we should expect of ourselves from hospitality. And it's also not what we should expect from others who are being hospitable to us. I have had people and seen people come to our home who are, you can tell there's just like a critical spirit there. And that, again, why we want to talk about being a guest of hospitality later. But we should not be receiving or looking at our own hospitality with a critical eye, but just sharing, what do I have and how can I use it to bless other people? Whether it's an apartment or a dorm room, or a big, beautiful home. Like, what do I have? What can I do with this to please, or to not please, to serve others and bring glory to God?
Yeah. And thinking about it through the lens of, God has been hospitable to me, that God has welcomed me into his family when I was a crazy mess and didn't expect me to come perfectly dressed and perfectly cleaned up and spotless and bringing the right things for the table, but he provided it all for me. And just what a beautiful image that is. Whenever we welcome people in, or we're offering to, it's like we come to this in view of what God has done for us already. He's already prepared. I looked up this verse because I love this. Because as a mom, you're always preparing things for other people. You know, you're always the one that's preparing the table, preparing the food, preparing the home. And sometimes that can feel daunting, especially with hospitality. And there's been seasons where, I'm still in a season where hospitality is really hard for me, just to be completely honest, it's really hard. But I want it to be a lot easier. And I want my brain to be different about it. I want my brain to not be like thinking about the work that's involved surrounding it. I want to my brain to be like, this is a sweet blessing I can give to someone. And this will also be a blessing to me. And it always ends up being that way. It always ends up being that way. Once you just do it, it's like, this was so sweet and I loved it and I'm so thankful I did it. But when you, it's the prep that you're thinking about, or the cleanup that you're thinking about. You're not thinking about it in spiritual terms of like, God, what are you doing through this? Can I read this one scripture really quick, or you want to add something else?
I was going to read a scripture that addressed that. So I'm wondering.
Okay. Well, this is about, John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And for some reason, that like gets me. Just thinking about a time that we're going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
And that Jesus has prepared, gosh, I don't know why, I'm emotional, has prepared this beautiful place for us. And just as a mom, that is very touching for me because you want that. There are times as a mother that it's like, I want a home prepared for me. I want a space that someone has thought of my needs. You know, you just, as a mom, sometimes your cup runs a little dry and you're like, Lord, fill me back up. And just thinking about that, there will be a day that we are sitting at a wedding feast, in this feast that we have not prepared, but someone has thought of every detail and it is aesthetically pleasing and it is beautiful and it is clean and sparkling and everything is wonderful. And that Jesus is preparing that for us now. And we just get to step into this amazing beauty and grace of someone else considering every single thing for us. How amazing. And in light of that, that we have an eternal state where Christ has prepared all kinds of greatness for us.
Yeah.
Can we not pour out a little bit
right. Of
grace and beauty to other people around us?
Well, and as you were saying that, I was thinking what an incredible thought that as our Savior is right now preparing for us this beautiful, thoughtful, just incredible place that words fall short of for us to live in and feast in. We get to mirror that while he's doing that at the same time.
Yeah.
We get to mirror that in our homes to our people. And one of the most important things with the heart of hospitality is being hospitable to the people that are already in your home, not letting hospitality be this thing where it's like, kids, quit bothering me. I got to get this. We're having people over.
Right.
But realizing your first guests of hospitality are with you always. Mm-hmm. They're in your home. You're preparing their beds.
Mm-hmm.
You're preparing their place to sleep as the Lord is preparing your place for rest.
Mm-hmm.
You're preparing all of their meals to feast on, even if it's chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
That's the kind of week that it is.
Yeah.
You're still lovingly preparing a meal for them, a feast for them, as the Father prepares a feast, a wedding feast for us. You know, just that, and what a meager offering that we bring in comparison to what he will bring.
Right.
But how cool and what a blessing it is to get to mirror that to our kids. And it's just such a cool thing to mull over and think about, you know?
Yeah, and as we do all of our tasks that seem so menial, it's like, okay, I'm getting the weeds out of the garden, or I'm getting the weeds off the driveway or the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's preparing streets of gold.
Right.
Like, there's going to be streets of gold that we get to walk on. Pearly gates. It's like, can I not scrub my railings?
Right.
You know? So, like, these tiny little offerings that we bring, and it's like, Lord, you're doing so much more. You're doing so much more for me. I happily can serve the people around me with a little bit of a taste of this eternal blessing that you're going to give me. And we want our homes to be a little taste of heaven.
Right.
Growing up, I grew up in a wonderful, wonderful home, and my parents were amazing. And our home was like that. It was like a slice of heaven. It was. And I have friends that we rode the school bus together, and we're still friends. Actually, they're twins, Caleb and Kyler, and one of them married my friend Sarah, and we're all still friends. And as adults, they have told me, like, yeah, whenever we would pull up to your house, we'd just, like, have our faces at the window being like, oh, man, it's like heaven there. Because my dad was really mindful about the yard and, you know, all these things. And we
Your
want...
mom is so hospitable.
She is.
Mm-hmm. She is so... She has such a thoughtful, sweet way about her where it's like she's anticipating ways to bless people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always.
I want to have her on the show. We should have
her. Yes, please.
We should have her on to talk about Psalm 23.
Yes.
After our series.
Anyway. Please.
But it was a little slice of heaven. Like, being there, being on the property, everything, it felt wonderful. And people riding the school bus would peek their little faces and think, ooh, that looks like a place I want to be. And we want that. We want, as believers, for our homes and for our families and the property that God has given us, the dwelling, what's the verse?
The boundary lines
that he has established for our family, as it says in Acts, that he has established where we live. So this plot of land that God has given the Sparkses, I want every square inch of it to feel like a little slice of heaven to the people that come here, whether it's just my family for seasons, and that is okay. And I think also really genuinely being okay with that,
right,
that certain seasons you're just going to be hospitable to your family and not feeling like a failure during those seasons and not feeling like, well, I can't handle having big Sabbath feasts, and that's the standard that I'm trying to live up to, is having 50 people over for a Sabbath feast weekly. And it's like, no, that's amazing. But that is not the standard that God has said, mothers and wives, thou shall have 50 people a week, and that is the standard for hospitality. But it's the heart of being generous, of wanting to bless the people around you, wanting to display God's glory and grace to anyone who comes in contact with you and your place.
Well, and hospitality too isn't just, it's not just opening your door.
Right.
So that is a big part of it. But it is your attitude, your thoughts, the way that you are intentionally caring for people around mm-hmm. you, looking for how can I bless this person? Who has a need that I can meet?
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to be in different seasons of life. We're going to have different abilities. And some of us, like I can think of my sister-in-law right now. She doesn't have a big home where she can, mm-hmm. you know, host a ton of people. She's in an apartment that she shares with a roommate that she has to be really mindful of, you know. But she, every time there's a meal train,
yes.
she's texting me mm-hmm. before I can even see that there's a meal train that's been released. She's like, two minute into a meal together,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just that. And then anytime somebody needs childcare, she's like, yeah, I'll watch it.
I know.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And there's not even a second thought. And if somebody needs something, she will drive however far to meet whatever need, if she can possibly, this side of heaven.
Yeah,
you know, she's just...
By the way,
looking for that.
She brought a kitten in a purse Wednesday night
yes.
and was the most famous person in church.
Sure.
And everyone loved it. That's just a side note. He's adorable.
He's so cute.
All the girls, it was like a giant huddle of children around her as she showed them all a kitten in her purse. It was awesome. Yeah, sometimes it's a season where bringing meals. Mm-hmm. I've had seasons like that where it's like, well, I'm cooking anyway. I can double this very easily and drop off a meal.
Right.
So, yeah, I think being open-minded of what it looks like
mm-hmm.
during different seasons and feeling, really working to feel okay about it.
And sometimes hospitality too just means how you treat other
people. Yeah.
Just, you know, if you're at home and you're in a season where you're like, I don't know, everybody's sick at your house, and you know there's another family that's also sick, it texts them and like, hey, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
I'm in the trenches with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking up groceries because we need some. Can I drop off some popsicles?
Yes.
You know, that's a way to be hospitable. There was one year we were all sick for like a month. And I mean, it was like awful sick. And we really couldn't leave. Everybody, as soon as one kid was done being sick, another one got sick. You know, it's just one of those things. And my friend Brandy dropped off sticker books, popsicles, and applesauce. Like all the things she knew would be easy on bellies, but also give them something to fun when they were puking.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was and that was the kindest, sweetest thing. You know, not having family in the area that you know, like having a mom that can just come over and take care of you, or, you know, things like that. Something small like that meant the absolute world
yep.
of like, she sees me
mm-hmm.
and she's caring for
yeah.
me, and how precious and sweet is this? And so there's so many ways. Don't limit yourself when you're thinking about ways to be hospitable. And again, we'll talk more about this next week, but thinking about ways to be hospitable, don't limit yourself to, I have to put on a big meal, or I have to host small group this every time, or, you know, something like that. There's so many ways that you can be hospitable. And you were talking earlier about feeling sometimes when you, like, you need to be hospitable even to your own people, and you feel empty as a mom and you feel like I have nothing left. There were two verses that came to me. One was 2 Corinthians 12, talking about how his strength and his grace is sufficient. I'm butchering this verse, and I don't know why. I have this committed to memory, I promise. But how his grace is sufficient for us when we are weak. And just asking the Lord, Father, give me grace.
Mm-hmm.
Give me grace.
Yeah.
Be my strength, because I have none.
Yeah.
And then the verse in Proverbs of one gives freely yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 11, yep. 24 through 25. I had that one written down, guys. I didn't mm-hmm. write the other one down.
Mm-hmm.
But that verse, it's a promise. That's a promise we can cling to when we bless other people, when we are looking for ways to be hospitable, to make a bed for the, you know, 70th time for our children in a way that's sweet and beautiful, to make another meal, mm-hmm. to stop what we're doing to spend time with our toddler who really wants to show us something, you know, all of those little moments those are moments that we can be watered by. It's not always us pouring out. Mm-hmm. It's we are pouring out, but at the same time, the Lord is filling us up.
Yeah. If we are grateful for the good work that he's given.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing is like, are you grumbling because you have the work to do, or are you being grateful for the good work, you know? But, and then also something that I'm learning is I pray a prayer a lot that when I'm weak, Lord, be strong. And just sometimes that doesn't mean he's going to make you be able to be strong in the way that you think
right.
would be convenient. It's like, God, make me strong. Let me do all the stuff that I think it needs to be done. But sometimes it's like, no, I actually want you to stay weak for a little bit so that you can rely on me and you can see your need for the sanctification in this area, or so that your pride can be diminished a bit,
yeah.
or whatever it is. But just knowing that, like, just because it says that when we are weak, then he is strong, doesn't mean that things have to go the way that you think.
Or some, they will.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't mean he's not hearing you or listening or answering that prayer. But sometimes there are more important things than what you're wanting to achieve.
Right. One thing I was thinking about last night was, if your instinct is to grumble about hospitality or just avoid it altogether, whatever form it looks like, whether it's being hospitable to people in your home, outside your home, ask yourself why, and then ask the Lord to sanctify you and encourage you in that way. And sometimes that's how he strengthens us, is by pointing out what our sin obstacle is in being able to be hospitable. And so some of the things I was just thinking of, okay, what are some common obstacles or hindrances to hospitality that we can like the ruts that we can get stuck in our own minds? And one of them is, I don't want my things messed up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it's not a bad thing to want to take good care of your things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an honoring thing. We are called to steward all things well, right? We want to steward the things that God gives us and be good stewards of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible sentence. Sorry, guys. I haven't finished my coffee yet. But it's okay to not want your stuff to get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But you can always put things away you don't want broken. Mm-hmm. There's a way around that obstacle. And you can also just say, Lord, let me not store up my treasures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people are more important than a toy. And if it's something that's super valuable, then maybe put it up if you know you're going to have toddlers or, you know, things like that. Or another obstacle was, I don't have the time. But you can also, like we said, look for ways that do fit your schedule. Look for things that you can do that may not be opening up your home or hosting in that. Another one is, my home isn't big enough. But you can be creative with outdoor space, or you can have one family over at a time,
mm-hmm.
or you can have an individual.
Yeah.
One thing that I found, one area I think in our churches that can be under-ministered to is college tents.
That's what I was just going to say. Sometimes just inviting a college student over,
mm-hmm.
it would be a huge blessing. And that's usually someone that probably comes in and out rather quickly, you know, that may not have made a lot of connections yet.
And college students can be pretty lonely.
Yeah.
You know, if they are not native to that area, if they're not locals,
mm-hmm.
then they are usually in that area for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have family. You know, they, depending on what their home life was like growing up, they might have a mom or dad that they can call and ask for help. And some of them are just kind of nomads,
mm-hmm.
and they're just there for 4 years and they're trying to make connections, but also just kind of feeling a little bit lost in the sea. And so if you have college students or just single people at your church,
mm-hmm.
invite them into your home. It's one person, or have two of them over at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
Or a single elderly person. There's some of those at our church that there's just like an elderly person that would be very blessed to come over and hang out with someone's family, probably.
Yeah. And what I found too, with Brayden doing college ministry for so long, what I found too was, those people are incredibly grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not people that are going to draw a lot of attention to themselves, that are going to be like, hey, serve me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of people are like that, but they're often overlooked because they just kind of slip in on a Sunday morning and they slip out,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have a family coming with them, and they may or may not be able to make it to all of the activities because of class schedules and things like that. But I remember one time we had a college student over for lunch. And Brandon said, hey, I invited this guy over. He was just going to go home and eat ramen or something, you know. And I was like,
Well, yeah, have him come over. I mean, you know, and I sent him home with leftovers, and we can, again, practical tips for that next week. But I sent him home with leftovers, and the look on his face, he was like, thank you so much. And Brandon told me afterwards, he goes, he legitimately eats ramen all the time because that's what he has. You know, like, he has a microwave, and that's what he has in his dorm, you know. And class schedule, work schedule, sometimes they can't get to the dining hall, you know. And a lot of guys sometimes will go to college because they're without knowing super how to cook. Their mom's always did it, you know. And so it's just such a, it's an easy way to be a blessing to somebody. If you can't host a whole family, find a single person or an elderly person or, you know, someone who's kind of on the fringes and bring them in, be hospitable to them. And another obstacle is I'm not gifted in that. And maybe not. But like, we all have different giftings, right? The Lord's gifted us all differently. And I remember Jordan coming into your house the first time, and I was like, wow, she is so hospitable. Her house is beautiful. Everything is just gorgeous. Like, I just wanted to, I had just had Jack too, and we were really new to Christ Church, and I just felt lonely and kind of out of sorts. And I remember sitting on your couch, and you offered me coffee as soon as I walked in your door, and I was like,
I have a hot cup of coffee, and there's all these lovely women here, and we're all just sitting and chatting on your couch. And it was probably just a normal Saturday afternoon to you, or morning to you, but it meant the world to me. It was the sweetest, most like cup filling, literally, time. And so look around to who's doing it well around you and ask them questions. Say, hey, how are you doing this? How can I grow in this? Can you help me with this? Can you give me a tip here? You know, things like that. But don't let your fear hold you back from growing in that gift. Even if you're a single lady, you can still be hospitable and still grow in that before you have children. Just learn from people around you, but find a way, not excuses.
Yeah. And I think another, I mean, for me, one is like the workload before and after, like I talked about, feeling like that's more than it actually is in my head, you know, like making a bigger deal of it than what it actually is and being like, well, I just can't do it. Like, when am I going to do it? How's it going to happen? Actually thinking about how long it takes to put meatballs together and throw them in the crock pot and have buns, and you can have meatball subs very easily. You know what I mean? Or like Italian beef, or just such practical, easy meals that can feed a lot of people. And it really doesn't take a lot of time. And if you're like, well, I can't get my house together. Well, maybe you should get your house together anyway. Like, if your house is so far gone that, that you're like, there's no possible way I can get this together for people to see it with their eyeballs, then it's probably time that you get it together anyway. And then if you have the right attitude about it to where your kids are excited to host and not that your kids are dreading people coming and breaking their things, which, I mean, there's... I get it. But like trying to be positive so that your kids are positive, so that they're excited, so that they want to join in, so that they want to make some dessert for everybody, or they want to get the outside prettier, they want to get some flowers together for the table, or just helping the family to all be a part of it so that everyone's heart is ready for hospitality and everyone's feeling generous and everyone's feeling excited about it. And then a part of it being, okay, now we all clean up. Now we gather up all the Solo cups and throw them all in the trash can, all the things. But I think making sure the whole family is on board with all having a heart of hospitality and not just the mama.
Yeah. Rachel Jankovic did a, she did like a, I think it was a webinar a few years back about hospitality. And one of the things that she said that just really stuck with me that I've tried to put into practice since hearing it was when you're looking for, or when you're trying to learn how to be hospitable, obviously you start with your people first, and then you just open your door to the wonderful thing you already have. It's not, we're going to put all, like, we're all going to act really happy and everybody's stressed and getting, and then smile when people get here. It's, we're going to already be excited to just be in our home. We're going to already, like you said, we're already going to have our home in a space where it's hospitable to us, where it gets in a pretty easy, clean, tiny space, you know, like, we're going to go ahead and make, just have a wonderful thing going with hospitality to our own people so that it really can be just about as simple as saying, come on over and just join in what we already have going on.
And maybe that's a good indication. Maybe it's, how's your family doing? Step one, how are relationships going in your family? How's hospitality going in your own home? If things are going pretty good, invite some people in. If they're not, pour some energy into family and knowing that that should be healthy first. and then welcoming some people. That doesn't mean perfect. No one's family is perfect, and it will never be perfect. Kids' behavior will never be perfect. Your behavior will never be perfect. Your relationships will never be perfect. So not waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
But if things are really bad, like, don't feel like you have to then invite some people over. Like, everything's awful. Like, focus on your family.
Yeah.
First.
Start there and then work out.
Family. I don't remember the jingle, but do you remember Focus on the Family?
I remember
WBBN.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the jingle?
It was WBGL where I grew up, but...
You're not a native.
I know. I know. From central Illinois. Although I've been here longer now, but...
Oh, I thought that was Oak that just walked by the door. I was like, wait a minute.
That's a problem.
Yeah. You got to go teach a class now.
I do. Two classes, actually.
Two classes.
Story times and phonics.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, thank you for listening. We will be back next week with what is next?
Practical hospitality.
Practical hospitality. Okay. All the tips next week. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I already gave some in this one, but I'm going to restate them with more detail. Okay. Thanks for listening.